diamonds in my teeth, I got a lot of shine. Running up the number, that's a lot of crime. If the cat take it from me, must be out your mind. I keep playing, lot of slime. Smokey in the air, that's a lot of pine. Pockets running over with the dollar sign. Try to take it from me.
Welcome to episode 291 of Fourth and John. I'm here with Evan Hollywood Hearn and Mal Davis in the building.
Yes, sir.
Today we are talking about training camp news and notes. Obviously, there's differences of opinions on the timeline. So it's this, you know, news and notes is everyone has news and notes at this point. And some other people are more critical than others when it comes to practice notes, be all to end all of some, and others see it as a time to get better if you're listening to AJ Brown. But overall, I think Eagle fans are so hungry for news that they'll take in any little bit of information that they can get. So we're going to go over some news and notes. But overall, I think I'm not concerned. It's day one and day two. It's you know, how are you guys feeling the same way, or
I'm just vibing off the excitement that football's back, Gail. Like you said, first and second day of training camp, they're still getting their sea legs underneath them, as Jimmy Kempski put it. You got to shake the rust off, man. And I'm not saying that that's an excuse, and you know, we're just going to allow them to perform poorly in, you know, training camp and the preseason, but it's the first 2 days, and we saw some flashes of some good things that happened, and we saw some things that, you know, like I said, is shaking the rust off. So I'm just happy the football's back.
Yeah, straight like that. Mark, what up? Yeah, Mr. 17-0 in the building. You feel me? Undefeated season incoming. Yeah, man, same, bro. I missed the past couple shows, so just excited to be back tapped in with y'all. Excited to tap in with the homies, the fans, everybody. And yeah, football is back, bro. You know, we're going to be sitting here, you know, closely analyzing practice and shit, right? Like, it's, nah, man. You know, I think we just got to. Yeah, I lost it.
No, you're there. You're back. Oh,
okay. Yeah, this internet. Verizon, you're terrible. But yeah, just excited to break down practices, you know, couple in. Folks are already freaking out. You know, I'm looking at some of the other voices of Philadelphia. Talking wild about Hurts already, as if this is meaningful stuff just yet. So, yeah, man, we here.
Yeah, the conspiracy's real, Mal. The conspiracy against Jalen Hurts is real.
Mm-hmm.
It's, oh, okay.
Like, people talk about Miles Sanders being polarizing, and, like, we'll probably get into that. Hurts is, like, you love him or you hate him kind of deal, right? It's like you believe he can be the future or you're completely out on him. And I find it so strange to, like, dislike somebody that is clearly so likable and also has the skills to potentially be, I mean, at worst, a middle of the pack starting NFL quarterback, at best, a relatively high ceiling to him. So I'm excited to see how camp keeps going. I want to see what Carson Strong could do, too.
Yeah.
I mean, when we're talking about Jalen Hurts, I mean, Jalen Hurts is the he's getting all the pub these days, whether it's good or bad. I mean, we'll start with Jalen Hurts. I think Jalen Hurts is a guy that everyone's excited to see what he's doing. Like, whether it's, you know, five or six throws, or, you know, if he's got a couple incompletions, it's all over the timeline. I know Elliott Shore Parks has his little throw chart out there, so it's you know, people are paying attention. But to me, I think you know, the first day of practice, I think Eagle fans, I think, can believe that the offense did fairly well from all the news and notes that we've seen out there.
For sure.
What say you guys? You guys feel like the offense did their thing day one?
Yeah. No,
it seems like it.
Go ahead, man.
No, I was just saying it seems like it. Like, from all of the information, it seems like, you know, day one was offense. We got a chance to see some big-time plays. Hurts hooking up with AJ Brown. Apparently Gainwell, you know, showed a little bit of wiggle in space and did his thing too. Quez Watkins was out there balling. You know, the usual suspects, man. Like, that's why I'm saying 17-0, because, you know, we got all the pieces. Now we just have to see how they coalesce as the year goes along.
Yeah.
You know, the funny thing about about practice, man. You're seeing practices shortened. That's one thing I've noticed over the last couple of days. You have a practice that lasts 58 minutes, and the second one lasts an hour and 15 minutes. So, in terms of like anyone who's played football, and you know, like the long days, dog days of summer camp, like 3 hour practice is worth thing. To see a practice 58 minutes, I feel like that's, I think they're, I it's the new age of practicing.
The new age of practicing, but, and listen, this is decisions that are determined by people that are smarter than I. So I'm not going to sit here and act like I know more than them. But one thing that is a huge part of training camp is conditioning and getting your body ready for the season. And that is what me as a non-medical professional is worried about. I'm looking at these guys. I'm like, if they are not getting the proper amount of, you know, conditioning, stretching, just working themselves out, getting their bodies ready for the season, I'm worried about soft tissue injuries. So, like we also said, we're only 2 days into this. So I'm not going to sit here and complain that the first two practices were pretty short.
I think about those 2 days, 3 days that we did hot August, you know what I mean? And like they were super inefficient too, right? They're like, we were out there for hours, but we were doing a bunch of dumb stuff. And so when I think about the actual time that we committed to practicing offense, defense, special teams, it was probably like an hour and a half of all that time. So I don't think that, you know, looking at the Eagles becoming a bit more streamlined in their practice times, I'm not super worried about. I think, Hearn, you make an excellent point about conditioning, right? Like, that's the part that I'm most concerned with is those quad injuries, those hamstring injuries, you know, those calf injuries, because those joints linger. And then when you get into the season, there's no time to really get over it, right? Like, you either sitting out practicing games or you playing through it. And we have dudes like A.J. Brown who's had recurrent injuries like that, right? Like, we have, you know, Sayo Malo who's had recurring injury issues. And so, yeah, man, as long as we stay healthy, that's always been the case. If we stay healthy, anything can happen.
And from an even wider scope, we also have had trust issues with our medical staff as well. And so, like, while I completely agree with you that, like, once you get to the regular season, you really don't have time. And I'm not trying to say that it happens or not, but it almost feels like when you get to the regular season, and especially when you get put between a rock and a hard place where you got to start winning some games, guys that are injured tend to get pushed back and encouraged to come back a little bit sooner before they're ready. And with these soft tissue injuries and how they linger, not a good thing.
Hey, but we were one of the healthiest teams last year. So that's a good sign of, you know, if we're going to believe the medicals and the medical team.
You know, I'm all about the medicals.
You know, so we'll let them do what they do. I heard that they're not going to have three consecutive days on the third day they kind of said that third days will be walkthroughs, and teaching moments. But they said on the third day is when consecutive practices in a row that they tend to have. You know, soft tissue injuries.
Yeah.
So this is why they're changing practice up. That's pretty interesting.
Let me ask you something, Gail, because we had a conversation prior to jumping on here. Just thoughts on the t-shirt.
Thoughts on the t-shirt? You know,
season, baby.
I get that. If that's what Sirianni likes to do, and that's his thing, you know.
What, supporting his quarterback?
He wore a Brandon Graham shirt. He's got his collective. Yeah. I mean, I did ask him when I talked to him personally at the Eagles Autism Challenge. I was like, yo, I see you wearing those custom shirts all the time, but you should wear some of these custom kicks. That's in the works. But I'm saying, you know, it is what it is. Like, you know, some people have a certain feeling about the t-shirts. Some people like it. Some people don't.
I don't have a problem with it. Like, the way that I weigh it is, like, we have had a coach in Chip Kelly who really, like, he was a guy that preached, you know, emotional intelligence, stuff like that, but he didn't know how to connect with all of his players. And so I am looking at a coach in Nick Sirianni who's making an honest effort at trying to connect with his players and get on the same page and same level as them. And even if some people view it as corny, I view it as, like, I'm just thankful to have a coach that's trying to be involved with his players and support. You know what I mean?
And that's how I think about it too, right? Is that you need that connectivity. You need that connection. You need that synergy. You know, I think a lot of times the head coach takes this sort of standoffish CEO approach, like right. they're above it, and it's on the position coaches and it's on the coordinators to like build that rapport with the players. Whereas Sirianni came in from day one, man, and he was like, "Yo, I'm one of the dudes." And I think the players really responded, especially the veterans, because he is so young that like you got to get the veterans brought in, right, or bought in. So look at Brandon; he got the Brandon Graham shirts. Like he's catering to his leaders, but in a genuine way. So yeah, I'm with it, man. As somebody that wears hella graphic t-shirts to the point where my wife was like, yo, you got to stop. That, like, I respect it because, you know, I think that it's a great way to, again, build that rapport. But big your fellas up, too. Like, you showing up in a hurt season shirt says a lot, right? Like, that's a pretty definitive statement about where we are in regards to Hurts being that guy in Philadelphia.
And just to piggyback off of that, Gail, how do you feel about A.J. Brown wearing the Hurts season hat?
I think it's
you have to be consistent.
No, I think it's a good look because I mean you're supporting your quarterback. Shout out to Lord Brunson. I actually talked to him yesterday. We're definitely talking about trying to get him on to talk about his hat and the fact that you know it went viral and the fact that AJ Brown is out here in the community. I saw him put out a post and it was like you know, looking to support some black businesses. You know, throw your business in the chat, and the fact that he is supporting Lord Brunson, that's dope. You know, I just feel like at the end of the day, like I think the rapport and vibe that's building within the team, whether you know, like whatever you have to say about the team internally, I feel like they're connected. I feel like they're trying and they're all kind of locked in from what I'm seeing. Yep. I think I'm bought in. I think, but I do have conversations every day with Eagle fans. This is not a lie. This is at least have 30 different conversations going on, at least. So it's like I pick up on, you know, some Eagle fans aren't bought in. They're not bought into. I was like, it's very early, and I was like, there's no reason for you not to be not bought in. But if you're going by some of these notes of some incompletions, and you'll buy into a certain narrative, and that's I feel like to make a narrative off of a couple practices, you know, it'd have to be a string of practices where you see something. But again, AJ Brown alluded to saying in camp that you can't like, I mean, it's in practices is where you try things. He said that I find things off the internet, like I'll find things that I want to try in practice to see if I can use them in my game. And if I fail in practice, he's like, that's so be it. It's practice.
Right.
So. Yeah. I mean, I think that with the Hurts slander or feedback specifically, it piggybacks off of a year and some change of people not wanting him, right? And the eyeball test, the Tampa game, like people have all of this ammunition loaded up to say he's not the guy while conveniently ignoring the fact that he was a Pro Bowl alternate who was voted on by his peers, right? Like his all-purpose yards last year, he had like a ridiculous number of first down rushes. Like he was at certain points in the season, Jalen Hurts was our offense when things got erratic or when things weren't really moving well. And so it's a give and take situation. I don't think that Jalen Hurts is perfect by any means, but I do believe that he could be the quarterback of the future, right? Like people comparing Josh Allen now to who Josh Allen was when he came in the NFL, people were ready to run Josh Allen out of the league after his second year in the NFL, right? That like he had to turn the corner. The only way you turn the corner is when you have an offensive staff that believes in you. You have skill position players around you that can make plays. You have an offensive line in front of you that can protect you. Then it's on you. Hurts has those things now. And so I think now we can really assess in the second year in this system full time with all of these skill players around him that were brought in to make sure that he had what he needed and one of the best offensive lines in the NFL. Now I'm sitting for 17 games and I'm assessing who Jalen Hurts can be. But previous to that, I don't think we have enough information. We have such a small sample size. No one can say one way or the other which way this thing is going to go, in my opinion. And as somebody that grinds tape and watches, I see the 10-yard out that's hard to make in the NFL. I see the zip on the passes. I see him fitting it into tight windows. And then I also see him not making his second read in the progression, taking off too early. So it's a work in progress. He's still a young guy. That's what these camp, that's what camp is for, right? It's to work through those things and find that momentum to carry it into the regular season.
But just want to shout out everybody in the chat. It's Friday, you know. Some people have
gang.
I got half day Fridays on Friday, so that's it's always a good thing.
I get man. two hours off early. It's not okay.
I miss summer Fridays, bro. Those was nice. I just finished a 3-day conference, so I couldn't wait to run up out that building and get over here with the gang again, man.
Yeah. Shout out to Mark Jordan, Conrad in the building, who's at the Jalen Hurts camp. Shout out to his photography. Yeah, he said he will. Yes, he said he will be joining us August 7th at the open practice.
Hell yeah! Look forward to seeing him
and the tailgate. Yes. Now, Brad has a question in the chat. He says, "Have a question, just like the dog mask. How do I get one of those extra bubble wrap helmets pad like Kelce wore today? Obviously, the Guardian wrap has been a thing. I guess it's a new thing that's been implemented.
Yeah, I was looking them up today. They're only like $50."
Lane Johnson called it, they said bullshit. They look goofy as shit. Yeah. And then
they do.
And then Jason Kelce had his own bubble wrap attached to top of the helmet. So I thought that was a nice added touch to that.
He looked like half open.
They do look goofy, but at the same time, like according to the stats of it, they say it's supposed to reduce the chance of head getting trauma. A concussion by like 33% in practice.
Listen, I'm for
if they want to look goofy to save that, that's fine with me, man.
Yeah, listen, wear it in the game, man. Paint the Eagles John on the side of it, and let's protect these brains, man.
Well, Evan was concerned. He was a current concerned dad about Grant Calcaterra being that he had concussions. So the fact that Guardian wraps are a thing. I think Evan's pleased to see that. But speaking of Calcaterra, he had a pretty good
had a dive and catch.
And I mean, it's not surprising, right? That like, you know, when he was at Oklahoma, he played well. His last year in college after having to medically retire, came back, played well. You know, he's somebody I'm excited to see split out. We were looking for that tight end too. Tyree, we're unsure if he's that guy. You know, we got Dick Rod, but he's also like 60 years old. And so, you know, at some point you have to prepare yourself to move on in the future. I think Calcaterra has all young tight ends have that learning curve of how to block in the NFL because the game is faster. And so I think that he'll, you know, figure that out. But as far as catching the football, he never had any issues with that. So, you know, I'm not surprised to see him playing well. I hope that it continues. And yeah, man, protect that brain. I'm excited for him, but I'm also like every hit he takes, I'm like, yo, is he good? Is he good? Because, woo, buddy.
Well, I mean, we'll talk about the injury report. The three players that are on the active and the physically unable to perform list, Tyree Jackson, Brett Toth, and Dick Rod are actually on that list.
He's on PUP.
Yep.
Yeah.
Noah's a guy as well, or where's?
I'm not sure if he was on the PUP list, but so that the Eagles did sign Jaden Graham. They actually signed Cameron Tom, a center, and they actually signed a wide receiver, Lance Lenoir. But the other news out there, you know, Kelce is coming back from having COVID. So Fletcher Cox is actually coming back from having COVID. He said that he had some issues dealing with it, so he said he was pretty sick. Zach Pascal, wide receiver Zach Pascal, one of Sirianni's favorites, food poisoning. And then Anthony Harris also was dealing with he was coming back from COVID. He was at practice today. That's why Epps and Kayvon Wallace actually had some first team reps on the first day of practice.
Getting those first reps, I mean, from what I heard, Marcus Epps was performing pretty well.
And I heard Wallace was getting cooked. So we, you know, take win some, lose some, right?
Yeah, no, absolutely. But like Epps is one of those guys that like I didn't exactly know how to feel about Marcus Epps. I know that he's not a top flight safety in the league, but is he going to be a guy that we can consistently rotate in and he can, you know, he's not going to be a liability. And I think that if he can prove that in this training camp and he continues to improve and he's getting these first team reps, I'm all for it, man.
Epps, I kind of look at similar to like he's a player that like kind of like Hurts, right? That like he's going to work his ass off. If it doesn't happen, it's just because it wasn't meant to happen. Right. But like Marcus Epps is going to give everything he has. He's going to put his body on the line. He's going to study the game. He's going to play well. They were, I guess at some point, Kayvon Wallace was out of position and Epps is the one telling him where he's supposed to be. Right. And so he's even understanding the defense at a very intricate level where he knows where other players around him are supposed to be. And so that's a big step in the right direction because you also do have to kind of direct that traffic on the back end. So I'll be very curious to see first, like how many reps Marcus Epps and the safeties get in the preseason, right? I think that like who you see sort of not playing as much are the folks that are probably going to start versus the guys that you're getting a ton of reps just to catch them up. So excited to see what Epps can do. He had his own like highlight reel hype video that he released on Twitter and had the comment section was jumping. Like folks was hyped for him. So I'm excited to see what he could do, man. Still a young dude, a lot to prove. But, you know, we have depth. We keep talking about this. Like, yo, we're like four deep at every important position, right?
Yeah.
When was the last time we could sit and say four deep, like the next man up is actually a quality football player and not just like a deep reserve? So that really, other than going 17-0, I think that's the piece that has me as excited.
And that's one of the reasons why Andre Dillard is growing on me as a depth piece. Because I know that, like, realistically, he doesn't fit in the starting rotation. But God forbid anybody does go down. He's an awesome guy that's going to be able to fill in, either probably at guard or tackle. I worry about him flipping over to the other side, though, to the right side of the line, because I know that he's had issues with that before.
Yeah.
Compared that to try and wiping your butt with your opposite hand.
Yeah.
When you talk about
white boy ambidextrous, man, you gotta wipe with both. Like you
gotta practice get nice with him.
I'm gonna literally put you in the bathroom. I mean, the fact that when the Eagles won the Super Bowl, you had a guy, Big V, who came off the bench and gave you those quality snaps. So I mean, anytime you got that kind of depth, it's very cool. I mean, players are going down across the league. I know Jensen recently got hurt for the Bucks. People are already asking, are we going to offer up players? Isaac Sumalo, he got his first team reps at guard.
Yeah.
But also, I saw a stat out there that while playing together for 6 years, Lane Johnson and Isaac Sumalo have only played one snap next to each other. So that's an interesting nugget because you think about the communication between Lane Johnson and Brandon Brooks. And Brandon like Brooks, that communication is like, I know where you're going to be. I don't need to ask what it's like dancing partners. You know where the other person's going to be. Mm-hmm. So that was a wild stat. I mean, 6 years they played together, but only played next to each other for one snap.
That is crazy.
I'm curious to see what that competition looks like, right? Like, you know, everybody covering it right now is speculating that Sumalo is going to get that nod at right guard, which I think he should, but also having Suopeda, like I've heard nothing but good things about Suopeda, like this coaching staff. I was listening to some stuff yesterday and they were saying like, they're super excited about him because they've developed him into a dog. Right. And then you have Jack Driscoll, who also has some like swing tackle kick inside the guard capabilities. I feel like the best offensive lines have that, right? Like when you're talking about Big V, like the best old lines have swing tackles, man. They got dudes that can play both sides. They have some folks that can play all three positions on the inside interior offensive line. And so, you know, again, if it's not Sumalo, somebody's got to step up and run away with that job. And I'd be very curious to see through camp and through the preseason, like Mailata did versus Dillard, right? Like that, once Mailata took hold of it, he ain't never give it up again. I want to see who's going to take that right guard position and hold on to it and run with it through camp and through the regular season.
I got something that'll make you feel confident about that, though. And that is that we have the best offensive line coach in the league in Jeff Stoutland. Yeah, in history.
One of the best ever.
Yeah. And yep. I'm going to trust whatever decision, how he decides to trot those guys out there.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well,
Absolutely.
Speaking of ways that he's trotting guys out there. The offensive line, so far it's looked like Jordan Mailata at left tackle, Landon Dickerson at left guard, Cam Jurgens at center, Isaac Suamalu at right guard, Lane Johnson at right tackle. As we move to the second team, we had Andre Dillard at left tackle, Sue Opeta at left guard, Jack Anderson at center, Coyote Awosika at right guard, Jack Driscoll at right tackle. Third team, we had
no way.
Andre Dillard, left guard, Josh Sills, Cameron Tom at center, Bill Dunkel at right guard, right tackle was LaRaven Clark, and Kelsey was out today. So this is
that's a recurring really interesting thing to see LaRaven Clark, third team tackle, right? Yeah. With his familiarity with like the coaching staff, as somebody that last year they brought in specifically because he had that positional flexibility that he's not even getting reps on the second team, but he's the third team right tackle. Just thought that was interesting just to start things off. Curious if he moves up or gets cut or what happens, but I feel like if I'm looking at a third team right tackle, I want a young boy, right? Like somebody I might be able to practice squad, stash for the future versus an older veteran. Like, yo, dude, if you can't beat out Jack Driscoll, I don't know that you need to be here.
Yo, Jack Driscoll's a guy who
is a football player, dog.
I'm loving what I'm seeing from him. I'm loving the fact that he's a depth piece, but also he's a developing piece that could be a future starter.
I think he ends up at right guard, dude. Like, I think Jack Driscoll's going to be a dog. It's going to be a dog fight at that right guard position. Because even with Sue Opeta, humongous human being, right? And so, you know, on that inside interior line, you need those human being movers. And Opeta, from what folks have been saying, has gotten his technique up and is now being able to transition his feet and his hands into power to be able to move folks off the ball and off the line of scrimmage.
I was talking about Mark's comment here. He said, Kenny G getting first team reps. You know, Kenny G is a guy who he's really shown his hands. He's really shown his ability to get in the end zone. Pretty versatile for a first year player. I think, you know, I saw a note from Jimmy Kempsky. He said that Miles Sanders is the most talented back of the group.
Yeah.
You know, hands down. So, but I feel like, you know, Kenny G is a guy who's, I don't think he's backing down anytime yet soon or anything. But I feel like, again, it's a good thing to have such guys as Kenny G and Boston Scott, who's also getting first team reps as well.
Yeah.
So how are we feeling about that?
I'm really excited about it because, like I said, when we talked about the running back position in our position breakdown, I think Kenny G was a great player last year that we kind of just drifted away from for no particular reason whatsoever. I mean, I forget exactly what the breakdown was, but I thought I remember it being like a third of his touches that he had all season came in the course of like three games.
Yeah.
So like the fact that I feel like he was just underutilized and it could be because we had a decent stable at running back while Miles Sanders is healthy. But if you know, Kenny G continues to improve and show that he can be an impact in both receiving out of the backfield and running the ball, I think that it will. Like, I heard the same thing as you, Gail, that Miles Sanders is head and shoulders above every other running back in this group. But if Kenny G balls out, bro, he can easily kind of start to split carries with Miles Sanders, in my opinion.
So he worked, Miles Sanders worked exclusively with the second team today. That was today.
He is the most talented back that we have, but also I feel like he brings a level of inconsistency or like a question mark because you're not sure which Miles Sanders you're going to get, right? Like, are you going to get the guy that scored no touchdowns? Are you going to get the guy the year before that was able to break some really big runs for us? Mm-hmm. Like, which one of these players is he? And at this point in his career, I feel like we shouldn't still be asking that question, right? That like, we have a pretty solid idea who we have in Kenny Gainwell. We have a pretty good idea of who we have in Boston Scott. It's like the most established or the player that should be the most established is also the biggest question mark. So, you know, I feel good about the running back group. And like, yeah, Herm, you know, when we did the breakdown for running backs, you had mentioned the fact that Gainwell's production came basically in like three or four games.
Right.
Which, you know, I want to see that more evenly dispersed, continue to give him reps. I mean, I would love to see him jump ahead of Boston Scott, but also you got to earn it. If you're not ready for it, you know, Boston Scott, a dog, you're going to have to knock him off.
Yeah.
And so if you can't knock him off, then you'll get whatever is left over. But I've always been excited about Gainwell's ability to catch the ball and the level of versatility that that adds to an offense with a Jalen Hurts, because then it also adds a level of unpredictability that's important. You know, you could put any three of these running backs in the game. You don't know if they're going to run, pass, block, catch, go out into the flats, right? Like all of them have a similar sort of skill set. So I'm excited, man. I want to see what Gainwell can do. I think that he could be the future.
I think that's one of the benefits that we have, too, is the fact that, like you mentioned, how we have two other strong options at running back. So if Miles Sanders goes down from injury, or if he just isn't carrying his weight, we have two other options that aren't exactly at his level. But not every team in the NFL has the ability to just kind of plug and play running backs the way that we do and the way that we did last year, where even, you know, we were bringing in Jordan Howard in like when it looked like his career was over, and he ends up being one of our better running backs we had. But that's the type of thing that you can do when you have an elite offensive line like we do.
Talking about other notes offensively, what other offensive notes stood out to you guys? I got one.
Go ahead.
For this one's for Prime. Jalen Reagor's, he's had a nice start to camp. This is what I'm hearing. Actually, Jimmy Kempsky was noting that he had a pair of touchdowns, that he was working with the second team offense. But it's not, I mean, for a guy who's been struggling.
Yeah, I'm always happy to hear positive news out of camp. I don't care who it is. I'm always happy to hear positive news out of camp. But like Reagor, like the one thing, and I know that Jimmy Kempsky had touched on this too, because like the common perception was because of the one-handed catch and a few other highlights that Jalen Reagor had pulled off last year during camp, how it had created this perception that he had a really good camp. When in reality, it was more of just like a couple of highlights, and he was very inconsistent throughout. And so I like that, to me, just kind of keeps that in the back of my mind. I'm not trying to dog on Jalen Reagor by any means, but like, listen, man, you've dug yourself into a hole to the point where you have to prove that you are that guy. So I'm not counting you out yet. You're still on the team. You're still repping my logo. But you need to now go above and beyond to prove that you are worthy of, you know, getting some solid play during the regular season.
And I thought that it was really interesting that Reagor was the first guy up for special teams. So return it, right? That he was ahead of Covey. He was ahead of, you know, some of these other cats that came in specifically for that reason. After seeing him muff punts, after seeing him, you know, misunderstand positioning and you know, pinning the offense back deep. He's still the first guy up early on in camp. So, you know, I think that, like, it's definitely a make or break opportunity for Reagor. Stack these days on top of each other. It's going to be some tough ones in there. There'll be some drops in there. There'll be some missed opportunities in there. But in the end of the day, you got to stack those good days. Stay on top of it. You know, continue to maximize these opportunities, because in reality, this Eagles coaching staff could have been gave up on this man. The fact that they keep circling back to him, it shows that they know he has something in him, right? The same thing potentially they saw when they drafted him over Justin Jefferson. You know, let's see what we can do. I mean, you know, the past is the past. We over it. We got to see what we got in him.
We're going to leave it in the past.
Before we move on to defense, I want to touch on one more offensive thing. It is my cousin asking the question. Any opportunity of J-Jaw being the backup? First of all, there's no lock for that. And secondly, like, we have, like, between Grant Calcaterra, between, you know, Tyree Jackson, we have a lot of options at tight end. And the fact that I haven't heard anything about J-Jaw yet, and it's very rare that we ever do.
Yep.
My man is stays are numbered.
Still early.
Huh?
Still early. Still early. Mark Burt, is Devin Allen in camp? Yes, he is in camp. Yeah, actually had a couple catches out there. And then,
what's that? My microphone.
Your microphone.
My microphone.
Yeah, it's you this time, brother.
I haven't had issues with this mic, isn't it? How about now? Better?
Nah, oh, that's worse. Still shitty.
All right, so welcome to the Malcolm Davis podcast. I'm taking over from Gav.
I'm going to mute him for the time being. Devin Allen. That's another name that I feel like kind of has not been talked about a lot. You know, the speed is off the charts, but I really feel like the only way he's going to be able to contribute is through special teams.
Yeah, and at least in the immediate future, right?
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Because he was never really a big receiver or big reception guy at Oregon, so it's not like he went and had 200 receptions at Oregon and then ran track. Like, he wasn't a huge producer in that regard anyway. So right. Definitely him and Kobe too, right? Like, they're most immediate route to making the team has got to be special teams. They got to be dogs in that third sort of phase of football. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's also a chance for you to knock off a first round draft pick, because we already talked about the four deep, right? Like, we know we four deep with the wide receivers. If we go six, five and six playing special teams, right? They're like, yeah, you could catch some footballs, you could run some routes, but you also running. You're gunning, right? You're returning,
right?
You're
right.
Doing the dirty work to make that paper and make that team. So I think that, you know, it'll be interesting. I thought that was funny. So offense seemed to like own day one, and then day two, that defense came. They was like, yeah, nah, it's time to kick up. So you saw some dogs getting after it on day two. And just excited to see what this defense ultimately becomes. Somebody asked a question in here, like, do we have the wrong defensive coordinator for the players that we have? We're going to find out.
Yeah,
we're going to find out real soon.
Timothy Perkins asking, how's the Kobe Dean looking? I've heard great things, but I also saw something yesterday that someone called him Bobby Wagner 3.0.
Don't do this. Not yet. I saw somebody say
I'm just going to say, I was like, no, full attention.
Not yet. I mean, Herb was up for that one.
I mean, to be honest, I mean, like, in terms of, like, the football IQ and, like, the level of energy that he brought to his squad, and I feel like that Georgia defense, like, I thought he was just, like, that field general. And I obviously, we're not going to put that, you know, you know, Derek Barnett is Reggie White kind of thing. Like, Bobby Wagner is a OG level player.
He's a generational linebacker.
Yeah. So
we'll see if Nakobe is that.
But
he's a Pro Bowler, right? Like, we don't need a generational middle linebacker to affect the defense in the way that we need. We need a person that can wear the green dot, that can make the calls, that can get us a line, and when the time comes, make plays. I 100% think Nakobe Dean could do that. I was sitting on my couch yesterday looking at people talking about how he's the next Hall of Famer for us, and I'm like, but if he could make a Pro Bowl or two or three, that is incredible, right? Like, I did that whole breakdown around linebackers. We haven't had a Pro Bowl linebacker 20 years almost. And so, Jesus, you know,
it was Trot, I think.
In 2005. And so, you know, that's the big thing is, hey, you're finding, if you're going to find the all pro level linebacker, it's in those first three rounds of the draft. That part's done, right? Homegrown talent. So you're not going to get it in free agency. Homegrown talent, drafted them, develop them. We got a dog, man. We got Kazir White, too, who I'm probably the most excited about in that linebacking core, because I think that he brings something as far as his pass defense that we haven't had in a really long time.
Let's get to some more offensive notes. I know the one thing I heard from who is it? Kempski noted that your boy Carson Strong has the strongest arm in camp.
Chucking. Mm-hmm.
I'm not gonna say he's got the most. He's got the. He does have a strong arm. Also, I read that Gardner Minshew had one of the tightest window throws.
Mm-hmm.
Is that yeah?
Yeah.
The whole thing. Gardner Minshew living in a van. Did you see that?
I saw that.
Pay much attention to Gardner Minshew, to be quite honest.
No, it was just the story that was out. He rolled up in that van. Everyone's like, he was living in a van for a year or whatever. I was like, that was interesting. Other notes from on the offensive side before we go full defense?
So hold on 1 second. I want to address something here because further AM said wrong. Connor Barwin, linebacker. Connor Barwin was an outside linebacker. We're talking off-ball linebackers, middle linebackers, right? Like, I'm not talking pass rushers.
Like edge rushers, yeah.
Yeah, that's Connor Barwin and Nakobe Dean are two completely different football players. And so as far as, like, off-ball linebackers, inside linebackers, commanding the defense, running the defense – we haven't had a Pro Bowler since Jeremiah Trotter. So I appreciate you, dog. Like, Connor Barton was a dog, but he was pass rushing for us.
Dude, and
Dean is doing something completely different.
Out of curiosity, because Jeremiah Trotter, if you don't know by now, he's one of my all-time favorite Eagles. Oh, I was just looking up the stats. Bro only had 12 and a half sacks in his entire career. It's kind of blown away by that. I get he's not rushing the quarterback as much, but still.
Yeah.
He was your thumper.
He was your thumper for sure.
But
one thing, just wanted to jump in. So Kemsky had noted that Slay was on Smith and Bradbury was on A.J. Brown. I thought that was very interesting and kind of alludes to, like, potentially how they match up in regards to, like, defending different receivers this year. But I think a lot of folks were under the impression it'd be the other way around. So seeing Slay staying on Smith and Bradbury banging with A.J. Brown, I'm excited for those matchups for real.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Timmy said thoughts on Vic Fangio being at camp.
Yes,
if you guys have been listening, we mentioned this like probably a month ago that Vic Fangio was in the building, and this was the first time that I actually seen it being reported. So I feel like, again, I think, you know, he's a Philly guy. He's a Philly guy, but I know.
I need that shirt right there.
Eagle fans have been doing eye emojis to I've thrown it out on Instagram and on Facebook. Everyone's been what does this mean? I think in terms of if they're trying to, you know, rework some things on defense, I think he's a perfect guy to
perfect.
Do you think he's more of a consultant type role right now?
I think you know, and he doesn't have a job at this moment, so yeah. Obviously he's making his rounds to camp and such, but I think he's a wonderful dude to pick his brain if you're trying to disguise what you're doing. Jonathan Gannon, his presser today, started talking about, you know, disguising what they're doing and it's going to take players to make things look different and bringing the defense together.
Do you think Gannon's sweating at all with Vic Fangio being present?
I don't
present?
Think he's sweating.
No?
I don't think so. I wouldn't be surprised if Gannon was a part of bringing him in. And Gail, to your point about the disguises, I love what Gannon said, right? Like, disguises is just one player. It's the whole defense, right? Like, everybody has to be coordinated to be able to disguise well. And so, you know, I think that if you're really looking at a 3-4 transition to, you know, a more multiple front where you are including the 3-4 looks, who better than to chop it up with than Vic Fangio, right? Like, one of the better defensive coordinators that implements the 3-4 in the NFL. So I think it makes sense. Like, when you don't have an ego, you can have opportunities like this to bring folks in that otherwise could be seen as competition, but in reality make your job easier. And so, you know, I wanted Vic as our defensive coordinator after Gannon's first year. But, you know, I think this is a great chance for Gannon to prove his worth, man. And, you know, you got to have the OGs around. You got to pick the brains of the homies that did it before you, have done it better than you,
right,
to be able to get to where you're trying to go.
Talking about defensive players that have made some noise already, Mac McCain. You know, he's the guy that is playing second team corner, but him and Zach McPherson are both playing second string, but behind Bradbury and Slay. But McCain, a guy, you know, not too many people know a lot about his game, but the fact that he's got that opportunity. So the second team looks like Mac McCain, Zach McPherson, and Josiah Scott as your nickel. But I felt like Slay went out of his way to really big up Zach McPherson. He said he's been working out with him, and he sees him as the guy that's going to replace him.
Yeah. Cool. And so that's high praise. That's high praise to get from Darius Slay. But yeah, I just wanted to build off that as well. I mean, like McCain has been talked about, but you know, there's been some mixed things about Zach McPherson. I know he got beat a couple times, but I've also been reading that he's been performing and having some nice plays as well. So to see him developing and continuing to get better is huge. One name I want to find out more about is who we traded Zach Ertz for is Tay Gowan, man. Like, how's his development coming along?
Tay Island, are we going that?
Tay Island, yeah. I mean, I would love to have another guy contributor. There's no such thing as like not an or too much depth, you know what I mean?
Having too many dogs, yeah.
I really like
McCain's size. Yeah. I mean, at 6 foot 185, he's still young, 24 years old. Played at North Carolina A&T, so probably the reason why, you know, he's not as highly acclaimed, but has some good size for the position. You know, if we're gonna trust Cam Jurgens, if we're gonna trust that Cam Jurgens is the guy because of Kels, I mean, I would say, hey, if Slay is co-signing the dude, I'm here for it. You know, and Slay is the type of dude that he's not really tongue-in-cheek. He's not going to say things for the sake of saying it. You know, he's the type of guy that seems to be pretty straightforward about how he feels and what he thinks. And so, you know, if he's saying, hey, McCain has a chance, I just want to see it happen in real action, in real life, right? That, like, you know, these young dudes are going to get a great chance to get a lot of reps this preseason. And just seeing how the depth chart shakes out on defense. It's going to be really interesting at safety, at linebacker, at corner, at defensive line, because there's so many dogs in this mix right now. At wide receiver, there's a bunch of dogs in the mix. And so, you know, hungry dogs run faster, man. And you know, those hungry dogs are going to get the job done. And those other folks will end up practice squad being cut, maybe on other rosters.
Right.
I mean, obviously, people are talking about they, you know, been seeing them them odd fronts a little bit more than the even fronts. But I feel like it's gonna be they talked about to Gannon about the versatility and the ability to mix and match. And I think that's the one thing that I've been kind of like hammering home is that you have these different styles of players. So when you're trying to give these different looks, I feel like you finally got the pieces in place that you can do those things with. So I feel like, you know, overall it's going to be very interesting to see what we do. I would love, this is really what I can't wait to see what this defensive line does to Carson Wentz. I want to see, I just want to see the pressure.
Tear him apart.
I just want to see the pressure.
And you see too, how, the difference between the attendance at, Washington's first, open or first practice versus their second practice.
No, it was like
there was a bunch of people there day one, and then Carson Wentz kind of pooped the bed. And
did he?
That's what I heard. I heard he had a pretty crappy practice, and like there was like five people there the following day.
It's also the Commanders, and so it's it's a dysfunctional team. Something that was repeated a couple of times was Deveon Taylor making some plays, right? That, like, you know. I think in a lot of ways he became sort of the odd man out when we get in a Kobe Dean, when we draft on the Kobe Dean, we pick up a Kaiser White, or I feel you. you know, Deveon Taylor was like, okay, now he's the forgotten man, but you know, making some plays, showing the speed that got him drafted in the first place, right? They're like, yeah, when we drafted him, you and I talked about that transition from the star position to a traditional linebacker spot, right? And then they were cross-training him on all three linebacker positions. So he never, in year one, was able to get comfortable, dealt with some injuries. And so, you know, this is arguably the best place to be in is no expectations. Right. Sort of like Rager, no expectations. Right. That people ain't even expecting you to show up at this point. So anything you do is like a check mark plus. And so to see Deveon showing up early, you know, has me excited because, man, you can't have enough good linebackers at such a physical position. You need dudes that you can sub in and sub out and rotate just so that they don't wear down over the course of the year, especially looking at somebody like Nakobe, who's a little bit undersized for the position.
I mean, overall, I think on the second day, the defensive unit really shined. You know, they said it was a rough day for the offense. Obviously, when you don't have your other field general and Jason Kelce out there, that could be an issue. But I think, again, this is like, obviously the media is the media, but like in every football camp, you know, you'll have practices where the defenses wins the day. The defensive players will be bragging in meetings and be like, the head coach will make it something out of this. And then the next day, offense, like, no, this ain't happening tomorrow.
Right, exactly.
So everybody challenges each other. Was there a play with A.J. Brown and Slay got into it a little bit out there.
AJ Brown and Slay, yeah. Slay had a reception that he pulled away from, or AJ Brown had a reception he pulled away from Slay, and they apparently had to be broken up. TJ Edwards had a punch out on AJ Brown on a short pass, forcing them fumbles. AJ Brown, hold on to that rock, baby, because you know with the drop passes with the fumbles, you know that was something that you brought over from Tennessee. Leave that back in Tennessee, my boy. We don't need that in Philadelphia. We good. But yeah, to your point, Galen, like I love the fact that Sirianni and his staff preach competition. So you know for damn sure that after day two, if the defense was really dominating like that, they're going to get back into those meeting rooms and be like, hey, it's on us now, right? Like, we got to go out and dominate. Like, when these folks are cut, when they talk about us next time out, is we did this, right? Like, we dominated the defense. And then this return volley defense, like, hey, man, we got to kick up. But to me, again, that's the testament of a 17-0 football team right there. You feel me? Mm-hmm. Like, that's championship level stuff. We wasn't having these conversations a couple years ago. We like, God, this team is terrible. You go into camp, you like, this team is no good, bro. Like, we have blaring holes in multiple places that are important. And I feel like now it's like we're overanalyzing and overassessing things because we're trying to nitpick on a team that could be really good this year.
Now, if you guys have any questions in the chat, we'll take some questions as we go along. I know Further AM, he says, what is your thoughts on Grant Calcaterra? We spoke a little bit about him earlier in the pod, but I feel like a guy, who's modeled his game after Zach Ertz, the one and only, that's who he modeled his game after. I think as a pass catcher, earlier when we did our tight end position breakdown, I said he's going to get an opportunity to get a lot of reps. If he keeps on showing up, we'll see. Yeah. We'll see. Jay Jaw. We'll see.
I think Further's a dog, man. And shouts out to Further. Calcaterra's a dog. Shout out to Further. I love this Beavis and Butthead picture, by the way. That's dope, brother. I love it.
Brandon says, do you guys see any trades from training camp? What do you say, Ev?
I don't see anything off the top of my head. We had talked before about Andre Dillard potentially being moved, but like I said earlier, I like the idea of having more depth on the offensive line. So if I'm really like going into the season and I'm weighing, do I want depth or do I want to try and reach and go and get a guy? I'm looking at this team and I'd rather just go into the season with the guys that we have, potentially move somebody prior to the trade deadline. I could see like a player depending on how Miles Sanders does this year, I think he could be a guy that could potentially move at like the trade deadline, depending on where we're at the season. I'm just saying, yeah, throwing it out there. If Kenny G and Boston Scott are balling out and we're looking at Miles Sanders like, yo, we could move him, potentially recoup a draft pick. Yeah, I can see it happening.
Now, Reggie in the comments says, if Sanders doesn't live up to the hype, do we trade him and draft a running back with one of our firsts?
Not with the first round.
Yeah. Nah. Not in the first round. You got to save those picks for potentially moving up if need be. There's just other rounds. You can get a running back day three. There's no need to want day one or two.
I think one of my dark horse candidates is Gardner Minshew. Depending on if an injury happens to a prominent quarterback, right? That like Minshew is one of those guys that could probably come in, learn your offense pretty quickly. And, you know, he got some moxie to him. He's going to play the game. He's going to work his behind off. And so, you know, if Carson Strong, I don't think Reece Sinnett is going to be the guy. But if Carson Strong starts picking up more of those 13 reps, starts looking good, gets into a preseason game, you know, moving the ball around can show that he can translate his skills from college into the NFL. I think that you look at a guy like Gardner Minshew, you could probably recoup a little bit of value off of him. And, you know, move into the future with some young guys at the position, but some dogs too, right? That like Hurts has some animal in him. And Carson Strong, despite being called immature during the interview process, I mean, didn't cry about not getting drafted, right? You haven't heard too much about that afterwards. And so, you know, if he can show up and that knee is healthy, I would think about, you know, testing the waters to see who might be interested in a Gardner Minshew sort of trade or move.
Carson Strong did force the issue on the garlic bread in the rookie cook-off with the filet mignon. He thought that garlic bread should be a serious contender for a side.
And, with filet mignon?
Yeah.
In the group, did denied his wishes.
Yeah, that's who that was. I love garlic bread, but come on.
That was a red flag, my guy.
Carson, yeah. You got a little bit of money. Clash yourself up a little bit. Baby. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Red flag.
A little bit.
He's got lobster and Skittles coming up next.
shout out to Tim. He says, any chance the Eagles make a move for Bates, or are they completely satisfied with Epps? I think they're giving Epps every opportunity to be that guy. Today in Gannon's presser, he described the reason why Epps is that dude. He said in today's NFL safety position, he said when he started in 2005, the safety position is not the same position you're required to cover, required to tackle, and be where you're supposed to be. And he feels like Epps is that guy. Obviously, they bring in Tart, who's a guy who can be rotational as well. So I feel like they have their little, you know, they have a quality safety
plan.
We also have Anthony Harris. So we're talking about rotating these guys. Hey, man, you got three guys that can play the position. The Bates, Eagle fans are clamoring for that move.
Oh, I don't think I have.
Yeah, the Bengals are the worst. The Bengals are the worst when it comes to the contract issues with their players. Mm-hmm. How long did Carson Palmer try to get out of?
A minute.
So it's very, very tough to deal with their front office.
And I don't think that the Bates move right now today is a necessity, right? That I like see what Jaquaski Tart can offer you. Got Marcus Epps, you got Wallace, you got Harris, you named all these people. If you can't find two functional starters and then a third rotational dude out of that group, hey, maybe, right? Like, see what the Bengals are interested in or what they want. But they're not going to just trade Bates to us for nothing, right? That, like, it's going to cost a good player and potentially draft capital or really good draft capital to bring Bates in. And then you got to give him a contract. And so that goes into the fund, the spending for future years. And you know how he's always trying to play that, like, walk that line really delicately around salary cap. So I personally think that Bates is a really good football player. I just don't think that what it would take to get him is worth it right now until we see what our safeties have. And I think that that's part of the case with why people haven't traded for Minshew, to Brandon's point. You know, folks got to see what they have first, right? Like, you got to see your quarterbacks, Drew Locke and Geno, go out and throw ducks and throw it in the ground and just look really, really bad before you turn around and say, okay, shit, we need to go replace them. So I think that, like, it's still kind of early. People are super optimistic. I'm still talking about 17-0, right? And so, you know, as things go along, you'll get a better idea of where you stand. And then I think at that point, that's when you start testing the waters to see if folks are interested, or if an injury happens that makes it blatantly obvious that, you know, a team is really in need of a new quarterback or a new player that maybe is expendable for us.
Crazy that Seattle had was able to cash in on that extension with DK Metcalf when they don't even have a freaking quarterback to throw to him.
Hey, are you calling Geno Smith not a quarterback?
I'm calling them both not a quarterback.
Yeah, Geno Smith, Jacob Eason, and Drew Locke. I think that's
– yeah.
We will see.
I still remember Geno Smith. Didn't he get, like, break his jaw because he was talking shit in the locker room or something?
Yeah. Somebody snuck him.
Little red flag. Ricky says, good afternoon, fellas. We are set at safety. Keep them rotating. So I don't think Bates is really needed. I'm happy with our guys. And shout out to Ricky. I know he's expecting a child. So
congratulations.
Congrats to you, Ricky.
Congrats, man.
Darren says, Jacoby Stevens is now really an odd man out in the linebacker room, right? Mm. Do you think they try to move him back to safety? I don't know if he's that dude as a safety.
I'm not sure if he makes the roster, honestly.
Yeah.
He'd
be a practice squad stash. I feel like
you could develop him on the back end, but it could be as a back end player. But
when we took Jacoby, it wasn't like he was gonna come in and be that guy immediately, right? That when we had him, he was switching positions, developmental dude, was going to take time. You know, that's what being able to save folks on the practice squad is for, is to be able to hold on to people that you want to keep. So, you know, it's not bad to get pushed out in a numbers game where you're behind a bunch of really talented people. If we had a bunch of bums at the linebacker position and then Jacoby couldn't make it, that would be a cause for concern for me. But if he gets pushed out in a numbers game, but we still able to hold on to him and develop him, you know, next year is a whole new year, man. You see guys jump from year one to year two to year three all the time and show up and really become dogs. So we'll see.
Now, Todd says, haven't heard Jordan Davis' name much during camp. Mm-hmm. Have you not seen him sing Rick James in the rookie sing-off? I thought it was tremendous.
Yeah.
But he's bringing a really good energy to the group. And I feel like in terms of they're right now, they are trying to, if you take Gannon's words for it, they are trying to figure out what he does best at this moment. Yeah. Again, we're only two practices in. You know, these are the words of Jason Kelsey. Jason Kelsey said he's 6'6", 340 pounds, and ran a 4.7 40. He should be pretty good at football. So, I mean, again, I think still early in camp. I know Brandon Graham, he was ecstatic about Jordan Davis's body structure. Yeah, and he's saying the way that he was built, he was super impressed. He pointed at Mal and he said, "Look,
I got it right here.
I was kind of mad when he pointed at me. I'm like, hold on, dog. I am not no 340 pounds, man.
So if you haven't checked out yet on the 4th of John YouTube, be sure to like and subscribe.
Jordan Davis. Like that.
Shout out to like Aaron.
That's good to hear. That's great to hear.
You know what I'm saying? Just imagine 6'5". Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But he looked like that, though. Mm-hmm. I mean, he looked good. Like,
I was like, yo, chill, son. Like, no, but I'm saying, like,
you would think he'd be fat. Yeah, but to his point, you know, haven't heard much about Jordan Davis. If there's one person that is going to be singing Jordan Davis's praises, and it's Brandon Graham, dude, that's all I need to hear right there. Brandon Graham is a legendary Eagles defensive lineman. If he's liking what he's saying, I'm happy.
Jordan Davis isn't one of those dudes that's going to flash, right? Like, he's a space eater. We got him because he likes triple teams. That, like, you're going to hear him, and we're going to see him in preseason games when the season starts, right? Like, he's not a skill position player. He's not a quarterback. So he's not one of these dudes that people are going to constantly be looking at making plays, not just yet. You know, when the helmets get on, man, that's when I'm going to be hyped.
But now we got two space eaters that are going to be playing right next to
us. We got all the space. They eating space, bro. And this is going to let the dogs run.
Exactly.
I don't know that I said dogs this many times in my whole life. And I got two of them in the house.
Yeah. They did say they saw Jordan Davis at the nose, Javon Hargrave, and Milton Williams used as the 3-4 ends. So that's going to be
– bro. It's going to be – can you – with Graham, Sweat, you Fletch. Know, coming rushing on the outside, you know, Fletch to rotate in. Mm-hmm. Bro, like, that's a nasty front. That's a nasty front.
Yes, sir. I mean, you know, we hit that hour mark.
There we
have. It's either when we start talking about food or, you know.
I got something that isn't food related, but I just want to know if you guys caught it. Darius Leonard changed his name he's Shaquille Leonard now.
Yep.
What's the first thing you thought of when you heard that? Because it was something that came right to my mind.
Shaquille O'Neal?
No, it was Trey Thomas, bro. Do you remember when Trey Thomas had like changed his name like three times in the course of like 2 years?
Trey?
Yeah. He tried to. I looked it up earlier. He was originally William Thomas, and then he was called Trey Thomas. And he after apparently there was a William Thomas that played on the Eagles back in the 90s, yep. And he wanted to be called William Thomas, but everybody called him Trey. And then after William didn't stick around, he's like, "Fuck it, I'm Trey." And so I don't know. That I was just kind of the first. I just remember like every offseason it being, "Oh, Trey Thomas changed his name again."
And they dropped a rap album. It was called Trey Day.
Yeah, Trey Day. Yeah.
Did he really?
No.
I was about to say, Lord
smoke weed every day. How about the singing? Someone put in the comments on Facebook. They said if they were still testing, they probably would have tested Jordan Davis after hearing him sing Rick James.
You know how excited the players were too. It's a bunch of weed smokers out there, bro. It's a bunch of chiefers, man.
Is it? Did I miss that news? Was that new this year? That you're allowed to smoke
this song?
No.
Yeah. You don't test, all the pictures of these dudes taking pictures of joints and. Yeah, man.
Nah. That's new this year, though, right? That they're not.
I believe so.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think it was last year.
It's like a window in the off season where you don't get tested. But also, you got to think about it. Several of the states where players are, like teams are, is legalized, right? And so, the NFL had to figure out a way to sort of streamline that. So I think that was the happy medium until potentially there's some sort of federal regulation that makes it legal across the board. But I'm here for it, man. A lot of these dudes use it for pain regulation.
Have you listened to that Rick James song yet, Mary Jane?
By Jordan Davis or by Rick James?
By Rick James.
Of course. Bro, you think I don't know Rick James?
I'm asking if you heard that song. That's all.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah,
I know you're
an 80s. I would pull Ev's card if he hadn't listened to that. Ev's not solidified no more.
Ev's very well-rounded cultural musical taste. He can go anywhere from Nirvana to Big L.
Yes.
The day we kicked it, he had a playlist that had, everything you could imagine on it. So yeah, Ev is he's a cultured young man.
So it's
except Crunchy Bear. AJ beat me to it. Except Crunchy Bear. That's nasty.
we are talking about doing a Crunchy Beer t-shirt. And actually, I think at the tailgate we should have Evan's Crunchy Beer.
I'll de-shell some peanuts for people, and they can pour their sponsored Bud Lights into a cup and enjoy a Crunchy Beer. Jesus
Christ. I went to a 4th and John tailgate and I never came back because they had Crunchy Beer.
Yeah, I feel like that's gonna be me. I haven't been in years. I'm gonna show up Crunchy Beer. I'm gonna call my wife, be like, I'm coming home, man. Hey.
Wrong.
Shout out to Prime. Prime is working hard today.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Primo.
But shout out to him. Hey, you guys got any big plans for this weekend? Besides potentially doing another podcast?
Yeah, probably just going to be podcasting, bro.
Yeah, my cousin, may he rest in peace. He passed away. His birthday anniversary is tomorrow. So I know his mom is throwing something at her crib. So me and the wife and my pops will probably pull up, jump out, you know what I mean, spend some time with the family. But yeah, looking forward to podcasting. I got my own podcast that I got to think about too. So I gotta get busy this weekend, man. But also some 2K, I think. So, it'll be a nice weekend.
One of these days we're gonna play 2K. We haven't hooked up.
Yeah, no, you're not.
Bro, my lifestyle when I play.
You're not.
Oh, would you want to put money on this?
No, Gail goes through phases.
You play the team, John. I see you in Madden, but I don't play the team aspect of 2K. I just do my player.
We got
off track, man.
In Madden, I don't even run plays. I don't even run plays. I run my own plays.
Yeah, I'm a smoker, man. Don't worry.
What do you mean you run your own plays? Like you?
No, everything is. I read the defense and run plays off.
I got you.
Playing that sandlot football. I'm gonna crush your quarterback. The bitch.
Yeah, you move up your little safety. I'm like, yeah, I got you on the. Come on now.
Don't worry about it. When I smoke Gale, we're gonna stream it so everybody can see it. And it'll stand in the internet forever, man.
Now, Daniel says, I miss your Manscaped promos. Need to come up with something new that UFC will take over as well, thanks to your hype.
Yeah. We're welcoming sponsors, Daniel. So if you know anybody, send them our way. I'll do reads.
For the AMS, when are you guys coming back on live again? Hey, man, we still have one more
back tomorrow
podcast. Bro.
This guy forgets about the special teams. He said, fuck punters.
No. I'm saying we got two. You could slip in some special teams.
Well,
you want to throw a whole episode for them? Okay, we can do that.
No. Yo, Prime, come show up for you. Gonna tap in for me for the special teams episode. We're gonna switch, bro.
Oh, we didn't talk about the five returners at practice.
Punt returners earlier.
Were Jalen Reagor. We had Quez Watkins. We had
Britton Covey.
Britton Covey and Lenore, the new.
Yeah. And Devin Allen, no?
No, Devin Allen on punt returns. Mm-mm.
Well, that's not good.
D. That's Smith, like, Devontae Smith, he's bulked up, man. I think he put about 5 or 6 pounds of muscle on.
Yeah, he's looking good. He's looking good.
Let me get a rib.
Showing off the guns.
Showing a rib. How much for one rib?
F the cup poured in my hand for 15. If you know, you know.
Yeah, you know. Seriously. All the young folks is like, what the hell are they talking about? All the old heads is like, that's my movie right there.
That's I'm Gonna Get You, Sucker.
Yes, sir. Heck of a movie.
Every black man needs his own theme music. So we can leave it that one. Did you have anything before we left?
No. Everybody be safe out there. Thank you for tuning in. Go Birds.
Mao. Yeah, you know my name is Mao, man. Come on now. But yeah, always the same thing, man. I love y'all. I love the fans, a lot of folks that tap in. Always a pleasure to do this. Like, we're gonna ramp up content this season. We got stuff planned and on the horizon to mix it up and just be out here more frequently in regards to content. So just excited to continue to hey Daniel, that's what's up, man. Just excited to continue to connect with you all. Spread the word, right? Like, this is the big piece is if you love the content, if you love the things that we create, let other people know, right? Like, you know, share the links to the live broadcast. Come pull up on us at the tailgates. Don't drink the crunchy beer. But definitely come to the tailgates and just, you know, spread the good word, because 4th and John is for the people, man, and it's built by the people. So, you know, I think that makes us really unique. And why I just continue to enjoy to engage with this brand and with the folks that are part of the process.
Yeah, man. It's always good to see everyone, connect with everyone every week. Friday podcast, nice and laid back.
Yeah, chilling.
I really hope you guys have a great weekend. Yes, sir. We're gonna keep on talking about the Eagles. We're not going to stop. We're also going to be traveling on Philly sports trips. So if you're trying to get in on some trips, let them know.
Yo, Vince.
We have our own little tailgate coming up at the August 7th open practice. So if you guys are wandering around the parking lot, we'll be there having a good time. Evan says he's going to be making cheesesteaks.
I got to contact my people, get some meat, and going to be handing out some cheesesteaks. Yeah.
So
he going to secure the meat. Yo.
Yeah. So, that'll be the practice tailgate.
Yes, sir.
It's just a practice. Sir. DJ Lowski will be there as well, spinning.
It'll be like the real thing. Pull up. Yo, pull up.
If you ain't got nothing to do, August 7th.
Yeah, you ain't got – what is that, a Sunday?
Sunday, yeah.
You're not going to have anything going on.
It's the Lord's Day.
Lord's Day.
Open practice day and 4th and John's day.
And I can promise
there'll be no peanuts.
Please, Darren, no.
Although I might have to experiment behind the scenes and see if there's something there.
Evan, I swear on everything I love, I will personally drive you back to New Jersey and drop you at your parents' house, and you will be banned from this city if I see a peanut in a damn cheesesteak, bro. I draw the line somewhere, dog, and I think that might be it.
Everybody has to have their limits.
I am doing a crunchy beer.
I know you are.
Just for Evan.
You gotta.
Can't knock it. I mean, that's no, I can. I don't like crack, and I ain't had to try that. I don't need crunchy bear in my life either. Certain things,
but anyways.
But yeah, man. We'll see you guys soon. And as always, fly, Eagles, fly.